What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A awesome Thursday morning to you. What's going on, clones? Welcome to the show. Nice to have you. We're broadcasting live from Southern California. We are in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to be here. All right, great show for you. Let's get it going. Breaking news at the top of the program. You may have heard it in your sports update. Maybe you saw a Woj bomb on Twitter, but Brian Colangelo and the Sixers have agreed to part ways. Adrian Wojnarowski reports that, according to league sources. So I'll have thoughts on that in just one moment. In the meantime, don't wait on that. Get in right now. Phone lines are wide open. 1-800-636-8686. It's been a big call week. Let's get this thing going. We've got good momentum on the phone lines. Hit us up. I do not have an interview until 40 past hour number one. You can get through right now. You can get through for the next segment. Dial. Also, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. Coming up at 40 past, Mike Freeman, good jungle friend. NFL columnist for Bleacher Report. He's our first guest. That's coming up at 9:40 Pacific, 12:40 Eastern. Top of hour number two, so we'll go back to back. Another reason why you want to call right now. We're going back to back interviews. Tony Loughman, NHL Network host. The Caps looking to finish off the Golden Knights tonight. Tony Loughman comes in. Top of hour two. Middle of hour number two, Lee Jenkins. So three of my go-to guys. Lee Jenkins from SI, Tony Loughman, and Mike Freeman. Now I'm looking for a go-to clone or two. Hit us up, 1-800-636-8686. In terms of the breaking news, Brian Colangelo and the Sixers parting ways. That dropped just a few moments ago. Exactly nothing surprising about that. Had to do something, but not exactly the best timing. In fact, the timing is brutal. The draft is 2 weeks away. Free agency opens up right after that. But the Sixers had to do something. So that's not good for them. Woj also reports that Brett Brown is going to oversee basketball operations on an interim basis. Bad timing. Never good timing for something like that to have happen, but especially right now before the draft and before free agency. In the meantime, let's talk about last night's game. 43 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. 15 of 23 from the field, 6 of 9 from deep. Last night is why Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. Last night is why Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala wanted Kevin Durant. And last night is why this series is already over. Because last night was when Curry and Thompson were a combined 7 for 27. LeBron had a triple-double, and Golden State still cracked the Cavs. In their house, in a must-win game for Cleveland. Curry had the worst shooting game of his playoff career, and they still iced the Cavs to take a commanding 3-0 lead. But before we get into just how good that performance was from Durant, hey, do me this. Do me a favor. Let's hop in the Wayback Machine. Hop in the Wayback Machine with me. You know, remember that time when people were thinking that Kevin Durant was just an also-ran on this Warriors team? I do. You know why? Because it was like 2 days ago. And the argument that Kevin Durant did not fit in Golden State's offense, that they won a title without him, and that he wasn't actually helping them, and that on some level, he may even be hurting them. He's going to be looking to leave sooner than later. You remember that take? Mickey Rourke cannot believe how badly that take has aged. Here's some halftime numbers from last night. Curry, Thompson, Green, combined, 4 made shots, 6 fouls. You have 3 of your starters making a total of 4 shots, and you're lucky to be within 15. Instead, Golden State was within 6 because of Kevin Durant. Slim Reaper was trending on Twitter, and Kevin Durant was killing fools on the court. He did so much last night that I don't even have time to get into all the highlights. But just know he kept them in that game in the first half, and then he closed out that game in the fourth quarter. The pull-up jumper.
Durant, dribble drive, pulls up over level. One-hander as he floated to his left. He scored it, and the Warriors are back on top by one.
He found Iggy for the dunk.
Ball to Andre. Dribble handoff back to KD. Double to Andre. Right to the cup, and he hammered it down over Tristan Thompson. Right-hand slam.
And then, of course, there was this. the dagger.
Durant standing on the logo, waves Curry away. He's got Rodney Hood guarding him. Gets Iguodala to the right side, pulls up downtown. Durant for three, way downtown. He doubles the Warriors' advantage to 106 to 100. It's a playoff career high 43 points for Kevin Durant.
Thanks to Warriors Radio. That's the dagger that you're going to remember from last night. That's the shot that put that game on ice and put the Cavs to sleep pretty much forever. They're never waking up. And it looked familiar, right? And if it did, it's because it was. Very similar to that dagger he dropped in Game 3 last year with less than a minute to go coming down the left side. You remember that. Only last night was from even deeper. Way deeper. But don't take my word for it. The guys who know, know. And they know Kevin Durant is a completely different cat. Isn't that so, Steve Kerr?
That was amazing what he did out there tonight. Some of those shots, I don't think anybody in the world can hit those but him.
That was amazing. What says you, Clay?
It was amazing. He gave me and Steph a night off, which is nice. You know, when you got what Coach calls the ultimate luxury. You know, when your backcourt combines 20 points, but your small forward combines gets 43, it's a beautiful sight to see.
It is beautiful. The Splash Bros do next to nothing at all last night because that'll happen, and it didn't matter. How about the guy it happened to, LeBron? How did that taste, Bron?
Guys asked me, what's the difference between the Warriors? You guys asked me this last year. What was the difference between the Warriors the previous year and this year? What was my answer? All right, there it is. You know, Kevin Durant was my answer. You know, he's one of the best players that I've ever played against, that this league has ever seen.
Got to give it to Bron. At this point in his career, he almost always makes the right basketball play and almost always has the right answer. Or, a guy who already always has the right answer, my man, Joel Embiid on Twitter. Joe said, quote, KD is not nice.
Trust the process?
No, my man's not nice. Not if you're trying to stop him, because that's just unfair. I mean, let's be real. A seven-footer doing what he can do. A seven-footer hitting any shot he wants, being so smooth on all his distributions. I mean, that's not nice. That's not nice at all. In fact, it's dirty. It's filthy. It's not nice and it's not right, but it was awesome. And this is why he's Kevin Durant. This is why the Warriors wanted him. This is why they're about to win their third in 4 years. And saying that this guy isn't good for them or doesn't fit is the hottest lava there is, and it's an even worse take. We got into the whole philosophy of takes and lava, good takes and bad takes, when I went on the mothership this morning with my man DA. Good time, DA. Good looking out. That was fun. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, the breaking news this morning, Brian Colangelo and the Sixers reportedly parting ways. Listen, bottom line here. We don't know what did or did not happen, except there is speculation, and even more importantly, there is perception. Perception and speculation of what may have happened, and it's bad, and to keep him around after all of that would have been really tough. I don't see how they do it. So again, I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know who was responsible for those burner accounts. I don't think any of us do. They might. But to keep that guy around after all that probably was not going to happen. In fact, I know it wasn't. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so in addition to Kevin Durant and Golden State and where that leaves them, why don't we talk about LeBron and the Cavaliers and where it leaves them? I mean, LeBron's doing everything in his power. This guy could not possibly be doing any more, and all it's getting him is his ass kicked. Down 3-0. They came out last night. They landed a haymaker or two, and the Warriors just shook it off. You know, Golden State in the past, Golden State has been complacent. Golden State's been bored. Golden State at times looks like they're kind of asleep at the switch. Last night, they could have eaten a few of those punches and thought, yeah, whatever. Whatever. But they didn't. They came back. And they came back on a night when a lot of other guys did not do anything for them. They're taking care of their business. As I said yesterday, they will carry the Cavaliers another round if they want, or they will end it. It's just a matter of where they want to end it, in the Cavaliers' house or in their own. Dear Jim, Cleveland, this is for you.
Cleveland, this is for you.
Regards, Durant's dagger and the metaphorical final nail in their coffin. Signed, Mike in Buffalo. Unwore the guy who doesn't get picked in pickup basketball games. They can't keep his ball off the court when the 5v5 game is coming towards him. It's a good unwore. It's a strong unwore, Mike. Well done. Dear Vance Mack, KD is probably the second best player of this generation and is a first ballot Hall of Famer, though it's unfortunate that some will judge his legacy on the fact that he couldn't beat them, so he joined them. Do you think it's a fair judgment? I am with the opinion that it was a little bleep move to join the Warriors after they had won 73 games the year before and were one win away from the title, though I understand why he did it. He wanted to win. There are a lot of people out there that will have badmouth that move forever. What's your take, Rome? Thanks. Mario and SF. War Rome in the Hall of Fame and the tour stop coming back to Sacktown. That'd be fun. Listen, again, I've got no issue with it. I've got no problem with it. It's not even a matter of him gaming the system. He had an opportunity to bounce, and he did. He gave OKC everything he had. He came close. It wasn't enough. He saw what was going on at Golden State. He liked those guys. He wanted to ball with those guys. He liked their process. He liked their culture, and he wanted to win, so he went. Much like LeBron saw what was going on in South Beach, or better yet, put something together to take to South Beach. So he had the opportunity to bounce, and he did. The only difference between those two is KD did not go on live TV and stab all of OKC in the heart the way LeBron did back in the day. The system is set up that way. If you're a free agent, you can go. Let me ask you something. If you had a chance to go to work for a company that you liked better than the company that you were in or at, and you wanted to live in a place that was better than the place where you were currently living, wouldn't you do that? If you had a place to go where you could work with people you loved, for a company you loved, in a better town, would you not do that? Well, of course, Vance Mack. Yeah, but it's not okay for them. It's different. How is it different? I've got no issue with it. You know, the whole thing about, you know, Mike never did it. Mike never did it. Look who Mike had to run with. Mike didn't have to do it. Mike had Scott. Mike had Dennis Rodman. Mike had Steve Kerr. Mike had bigs. Mike did not need to bounce. Requiem for Oblivion tweets. Colangelo parting ways with the Sixers. The way he's trying to put it all on his wife, they may be parting ways as well. I don't know. As I just said, I don't know exactly how it went down or exactly what went down, or if he asked her to jump on the grenade or what. I just know the speculation and the perception were not good at all, and you pretty much could not keep that guy around after that went down. We don't know. Rome, I think it's totally unfair that Colangelo was let go from the Sixers. Signed, not Brian C. at Yahoo.com. John in Huntington Beach. I think a lot of people are going to go to school on this. Listen, if you put it online, if you put it in social, if you put it on the internet, somebody's going to find it. And even if you don't, somebody might find it. But if you do, somebody absolutely is going to find it. Believe me, this guy's not the only guy. Not the only guy with his position that's got a burner account. Maybe not even the only guy in his position with five burner accounts. But I would imagine if anybody else does have five burner accounts in his position, they're not tweeting from him, and they're sure as hell not tweeting negative things about their own players and negative things about the guy who had his job before he had it. And not negative things about the clothes they wear. Check that. Positive things about the clothes they wear. Hey, go ahead and have a burner account. Go ahead and monitor what's being said. Go ahead and do and look for other things. But if you want to tweet from that account, you better be very careful. At least more careful than he was, allegedly. Something else I want to hit on. It seemed like the worst idea ever. Referees getting on Twitter to defend themselves. I mean, is there a worse idea than that? It actually wasn't that bad. It didn't go nearly as bad as I thought it would because people were coming for Ref Watch. It may seem like it's month four. It's only day four of the Hall of Fame voting. Let me just say this, clones. I tried to tell you this when the campaign started. And like the other people in my category, I've been running a bit of a campaign. Listen, we're in deep. We are in deep. I tried to tell you this. I'm not going up against other sports talkers. I'm going up against political talkers. I'm going up against a conspiracy theorist. This is a firefight. We are in deep. This is tough. I'm watching how it's playing out. I need you to dig deep. And by that, what I'm asking for is this. not only your two votes, but even more. Give me more. Just understand what I'm saying. Because if this thing does not go the way that you want it to go or you think it's going to go, do not be surprised. I knew this was going to happen. This is a battle, man. It is a firefight. We are in deep against very, very good competition. And it may not go our way if you don't dig even deeper. I try to tell you this. Keep that in mind. Dig deep. Give me some more. I'm giving this thing everything I have. Can you do the same thing for us? 1-800-636-8686. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final is this evening. Are the Golden Knights going to extend? We'll get into it. U.S. Open still a week away. Tiger has shown up the way he does. If you're in Kansas City, and we have a lot of clones in Kansas City, you're going to try to come with bum smack. Don't do it. Do not do it. In fact, I'm not even sure I'm going to go to that story. AL East, an upset or an update on the Red Sox and the Yanks getting after it every single night. I really like the way the summer is setting up in that division. Although the Yankees need an arm or three. All of that still ahead. What do you want to hit on? You want to get in here. We're having an amazing week. Keep coming. 1-800-636-8686. Mike Freeman later on this hour. Tony Luffman next hour. Lee Jenkins coming up next hour. Dudes, are you ready, especially with summer upon us right now, are you ready to reduce the gray in your hair? Then go with the smartest product available. Experience Control GX from Just for Men. This is an amazing product, and I will tell you why. It's the first shampoo ever with a brain. Why does it have a brain? Because it knows to reduce gray the same way gray comes in, gradually. In other words, the more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Use it until you like what you see. That's pretty smart. Smart enough, in fact, to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo with a brain. You can find Control GX in the shave aisle. Control GX from Just for Men.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
But for any vacation this summer, you want to make sure you visit GNC Clones. Where else would you go for energy products, sports nutrition, or vitamins? Of course, GNC. Believe me, before I get out of town, I'm going to hit it. GNC has got the highest quality solutions and supplements in the industry. GNC brand products pass up to 150 quality checks. You can be sure that you're getting the best prices with GNC's price match guarantee. GNC does not just match prices. They will beat them by a buck or try something new. If it's not right for you, return it for a full refund. This summer, live well with GNC. Exclusions apply. See an associate or GNC.com for details. Also, additionally, Chris Haynes tweets, the investigation firm, quote, "We do not believe Mr. Colangelo established the Twitter accounts or posted content on those accounts. The evidence supports the conclusion Ms. Barbara Bettini, Mr. Colangelo's wife, established the Twitter accounts and posted content on those accounts." That according to Chris Haynes. So he reports that it was not Brian Colangelo, but rather it was his wife who established the accounts and posted on the accounts. Either way, she's admitting it, or they determined that it was her, or she tried to take the fall for him. Either way, whatever it is, and it sounds like it was her, at least according to this law firm, it still puts the team and Brian in a really awkward position when it comes to future dealings with current players and free agents. It's always going to be there. Not only will the question always be there, but it's going to be there in the back of a player's mind. I mean, if would you want to go to a place where the guy or the guy's wife was cracking cornerstone players, franchise players, all-star players? Probably not. And the team certainly would not want that issue, the perception, the question being there. So this is not surprising. They essentially did what they had to do. But according to that law firm, it seemed that it was his wife who established the accounts and posted the content. You know, I've had this conversation before. Anybody in the public eye, we all know this. We all know this, and pretty much all of us school our family and our friends up on this, and today more than ever before. If you're in the public domain, whatever it is, entertainment, media, sports, whatever, you are a target. There will be a certain amount of people that love you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, and there will be a certain amount of people who hate your guts no matter what you do and what you say. And I'm not even talking about being totally polarizing. You could say nothing at all. You could be the most vanilla person ever, and somebody's going to hate your guts, and somebody's going to go online with it and post it. You let the people around you know. You cannot react to that, certainly not in that manner. I mean, imagine this guy. He's a two-time executive of the year with the last name Colangelo, an extremely well-respected name, career, the one he was having, the one his father's had, and to see it maybe implode over something like that is really unbelievable, and also over something that we know. I mean, yeah, nobody wants to hear how horrible you are at your job. Nobody wants to hear that the guy before you was better at the job, but that's part of the job. You know that going in, right? And not only do you know that, you make sure everybody around you knows that so they don't misstep or they don't do something, even if they're coming from a place of, you know, love. Like, you're not doing my guy like that. You're not doing my husband like that. You're not doing my wife like that. You're not doing my kids like that. It's part of the deal. Let's go to the phones. They're open. I'd love to hear from you today. Let's go first to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris, great to have you in the jungle. Good morning. How are you?
Jim Rome, how are you doing, my friend?
Bud, I'm doing great. Chris, how about you? How are things?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm great that I finally am able to talk to you. I'm a longtime listener. I have listened to you back in the days when my dad would pick me up from school and you were on the sports radio. I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for always being there. I listened to you on two deployments, never missed the show. I love hearing your takes. I love hearing your interviews. And you have my vote. You have my wife's vote. Everybody I know's vote to get in that Hall of Fame, and it is my honor to get you in there. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm a proud member of the Bills Mafia, and we love what you do, Jim.
My man, you're the best, Chris. Thanks so much, and thank you very much for your service. And thank you for your vote. And can I get both your votes? Hey, really quickly, I'm not dead. I'm not even sick. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I appreciate all the love. Just know I'm going to be here no matter what happens in the Hall of Fame balloting. I am going to be here for a long, long time. Can't run me off. I'm feeling good. In fact, I've never felt better. But I appreciate the love. Let's quickly go to Albuquerque. John in the ABQ. Hey, John, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Rome. Nice to talk to you, man. We were at the, I guess you wouldn't call it a tour stop, but got a chance to talk to you. Long time since 97, back my days at UNLV. We're taking days off work. We're trolling the area over by El Dorado High, where your boy Chrissy Everett went to school. Dude, love you. How can you not beat Mark Levin, that hate-filled dude? Damn, I'm kind of nervous a little bit. Never felt compelled to call in. Love you, bro. Lots of love. And Trapper, get well, bro. Peace.
John, thank you, man. Appreciate you very much. John, thank you. Thanks for looking out. He just said, how can you not beat that guy? It's a problem. I mean, this guy could beat us. This guy might be beating us. This guy might be running a much better race. There's no way for me to know except for what I can see. And they're running a really good race. They're running a really, really good race, which is why I wanted to suggest to all of you clones, I love you and I feel great about us and what we do. And I know you do too and you should, but I also know who also got into the same gate in the same race. And just because you don't know him or the others does not mean that they don't have juice. They have big audiences that love their host like you love me, who want to do for their host like you do for me. We got to run this race now. We're 4 days in, and we've got another week still to come. Man, keep banging away. Keep banging away. Because I'm going to keep doing it. I know it feels like 4 months, and it's only been 4 days, but I'd really love to see this happen. And no matter what, I just want to make sure we leave every stone unturned and we come as hard as we possibly can. When we come back, Mike Freeman joins us. We'll talk some football. Tony Lefman, top of the hour. Lee Jenkins, also next hour. Third hour is open. 1-800-636-8686. Story of the morning, Brian Colangelo and the Sixers parting ways. I'm sure you will hear about that and more in this update right now.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
At Gone Postal 41 tweets, I told my kids if they want allowance, they need to vote twice. And every friend they recruit, I will chip them off some more. Nice job, Keith. I told my kids, you get every kid in your school to vote, and you get nothing. You get dinner. They're headed to Memphis. Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson lead the charge at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. That's this weekend on CBS. Make sure you check that out. I'm going to be talking to my guy, Mike Freeman, in just a moment. And that moment has come. A Bleacher Report NFL lead writer, author of numerous books, many, many books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask and Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler. He is a friend of the program. He is Mike Freeman. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I got to say something real quick before we get going. Your nomination for the Radio Hall of Fame is fantastic, well-earned. You're one of the legends in our business. And what people need to know is that a lot of us who've been on your show over the years, you've been nothing but kind and helpful and great to us. So the fact that you're talented enough to get in isn't the question, but we also need to make sure people know that you've always been really, really terrific to the people along the way. So you're going to get in, and when you get in, you know, give me a T-shirt or something and maybe like a couple dollars and a spot on the show, and just, but you're getting in, and it's well-deserved. So I just wanted to say that before we got going.
Mike, thank you so much. You get all those things, whether I get in or not, and I have something for you right now. I'm not even going to wait. I'm not going to wait until the end of 2 weeks. I have this for you right now. Mike Freeman, live long and prosper.
I've converted you.
Live long and prosper.
I got you to say the words, baby.
Clearly, I'll do anything to get in. Clearly, I will do anything to get in. You know, Mike, about what you said, you know, when you say that I haven't for people who've come on the program, listen, all of you have done so much for me by coming on the program. There's been amazing content, and I look forward to all these conversations. So believe me, I get a lot more out of this than I've given, but I appreciate you and the thoughts. Let's talk a little football, Mike. There's a lot to talk about with the NFL, but instead, let's take a moment and start with the XFL. What was your reaction to the news that Oliver Luck is the commissioner of that league?
I thought the XFL was just headed to failure. I mean, they still might be, but they, you know, Jim, like you've heard from some of these other leagues and some of the moves they're making, which have been really good moves, but the XFL has been mostly quiet. But I do think the hiring of Oliver Luck, for people who don't know, Oliver Luck is a really big deal. He's not just Andrew Luck's dad. He's got a long, long history of doing really, really smart things in football and sports. He's a really talented guy, and I think he gives the XFL credibility but also a chance to succeed more long-term. I don't see him, a guy like that, going to this league if he doesn't think that there's something to it, that there's a lot to it. So I think there's this. The XFL might actually have a chance to do something long term. I mean, the odds are against it. No league ever succeeds against the NFL. I mean, they all these startups, they always crumble, and that's probably in the end what will happen. But I think the XFL has a real shot to do something with him at the helm.
Mike Freeman is an NFL columnist with Bleacher Report, front of the program. And obviously, Mike, when you spoke with Oliver Luck, naturally the topic of his son, Andrew, did come up. Hey, remember, when Luck came into the league, he was a big physical presence, a guy who could take hits, he could shake them off. But he's only played a total of 15 games since week 9 of the 2015 season. Publicly, the Colts seem to think that everything's going well. Is it?
When I asked Oliver about us, how is your son? He said he's fine. He wouldn't really go into great detail. And that's sort of, Jim, where we are with Andrew. They keep saying everything's okay, but our eyes are telling us something different because we haven't seen him. He hasn't played football in a long time. So I'll sort of believe it when I see it. I know around the league there's this belief that he's worse off than the Colts are saying, but no one can prove that. So we just kind of have to wait. We have to wait and see what he does and when he gets on the field and when he starts really in pads and plays in games, and then we'll see, obviously. But I remain a little bit skeptical about his future.
We're talking to Mike Freeman. All right, Mike, you also have a piece on Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and what they can do in Houston. You know, it can be pretty easy to forget, but take us back. How good was Deshaun Watson last year before the knee injury?
Well, he was so good
as you said, it's easy to forget because he got hurt. He missed a large chunk of the season with his knee injury. I remember, I go back to that Seattle game where they were in Seattle and he lit up that defense. And it wasn't the same great defense we're used to seeing the Seahawks have, but it was a really, really good defense and he obliterated it. And that was sort of his coming out party or one of them. And I think you're going to see Deshaun Watson just take another step forward and keep getting better and better. He's a, for people who don't know, he's a really smart guy who studies the game. He's also obviously a tremendous athletic talent, but he's in like the perfect system for him. They built this system around his talents rather than forcing him to do something else. And that sounds obvious, but as you know, Jim, a lot of coaches, they are just don't coach smart sometimes, and they force a square peg in a round hole. They know his ability to run, strong arm. They've incorporated all of that into their offensive system. He's got a terrific wide receiver. So he's set to have a real tremendous breakout year. We'll see what happens, but if he keeps growing, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in his league.
All right, so bottom line this, I mean, knowing his potential, knowing his receiver, knowing the rest of the offense, knowing the fact that J.J. Watt is returning on defense, I mean, what's realistic for the Texans this year? Is it Super Bowl or bust this year, or is that asking too much too soon of Watson?
I think it's not. No, I don't think it's asking too much at all, Jim. I think they can – this is a really, really talented team if it stays healthy, but that's always been a huge if with them. They've always – lost a real key component. Last year it was their quarterback. It was J.J. They've had guys that get hurt at key positions, but it seems like that bad luck is – it's time for it to run out. And if they keep everyone healthy, they can win the AFC. They're young. They're smart. I think they're well coached. I think they have a tremendous potentially number one defense if Watt comes back and some of the other guys they have there. They have a really exciting quarterback, a solid running game. I mean, the Patriots, obviously, they have to get by them, which is obviously no easy feat. But they are a good enough team to reach the Super Bowl, no question about it to me.
Mike Freeman's an NFL columnist for Bleacher Report. Mike, why don't we get to the political portion of the program now? What was your reaction when you first heard that the Eagles were no longer invited to the White House?
I don't know how there's so many layers to that. I don't even know where to begin half the time with this stuff. It's just gotten so wild. I think one of the main disappointments for me, at least, was I'm writing about this for tomorrow. I mean, has anyone seen Roger Goodell? Checked any milk cartons back of them? Is he on them? Where is the NFL? Where are they in all of this? They're letting, first of all, you had to know that if you give one inch to Trump, he's going to take a mile. So their whole policy of essentially banning the anthem and was stupid because Trump wasn't going to be satisfied with that. They had to know that. So they do that, and then Trump says, no, that's not enough. And he's going to use the NFL and use the players as his punching bag. And the fact that these owners and Goodell couldn't see this coming is one of the great screw-ups this league has ever had. And they're going to pay a huge price for trying to appease a president who was never going to be appeased on this issue. And they're going to pay a huge, huge price for it. He's going to keep hammering because he saw them give in so easily. He knows he can punk them. They're patsies. So, and then now, where's Goodell? Where are the owners? No one's countering it. They've left the players to fight for themselves while the owners and Goodell run and hide. It was a disgraceful moment to me in the NFL's recent history.
Mike Freeman joining us. So, Mike, I mean, you made this pretty clear, but let me just reset this very quickly. Do you feel like in terms of the national anthem and the new policy, in other words, did they do this out of fear of the president and what he would say and what he would do, or did the league genuinely believe that these were going to be positive changes?
No, I think they did it out of fear. I don't think there's any question. And they did it with a lack of understanding, apparently, of how this president works. I mean, you're not going to be able to really reason with them. So they reacted out of fear. They did what they thought would appease the president. And then the president was like, no. So what you're going to see next year, Jim, is you're going to see some players stay in the locker room. You will still see, I think, some players take the fine and protest on the field. And then the president will take those moments and bash the NFL with them. It's going to keep going. The NFL made a situation that was, and you know this, it was dying. It was going away. There were only a handful of players still protesting. And then the NFL did this, and it brought new attention to it. So they made a situation that was going away far worse. That was one of the dumber things about this. They didn't need a policy because it was going away. So now they have a policy that won't work, that players, that angers players, that energizes Trump and gets them attacked more. It never made any sense from the beginning.
So then, Mike, what about Colin Kaepernick? Where does that leave him and his situation? Is that dying and going away, or is it not? And how's it going to play out over the rest of summer and into the season?
Well, I think what he's doing against the NFL, his grievance is going to keep going strong. I think the NFL dramatically underestimated his toughness and his resources and his willingness to fight. And he's still fighting that battle. I think he's going to keep fighting that battle till it's over, till there's a decision made. I don't think he's ever going to play in the NFL again, but I know just from talking to players, and I think this is a representative with a lot of guys around the league, he always had their respect, but now he's got sort of this newfound respect because in a lot of ways he called this stuff. And, you know, his protests were about social injustices off the field, and you're seeing more and more of these types of incidents with the police. Just had one with one of the players from the Milwaukee Bucks. He saw this, and he saw how athletics could play a role in bringing attention to it. And I know there are players who are like, well, I wish I'd gotten behind him from the very beginning. But I think now you're going to see that. I think next year you're going to see a lot of players tired of being punching bags, protests. You're going to see more protests, I think. And they're going to risk the fines, and they won't care. Or they're going to stay in the locker room and make a statement by doing that. But you're going to see more action because they think Colin Kaepernick was right, and they want to show that he was right, and they want to get involved in this movement more.
He is the NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report, the author of so many books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask, who is a fascinating figure, Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler, love the Snake. He is a very, very good friend of the program. Mike, I appreciate you so much. You're the best. I really appreciate what you said at the top of the interview. Live long and prosper, my friend. I hope we both do.
Jim, when you get in the Hall of Fame, don't skip the ceremony like Terrell Owens is, all right? I want you to go, baby, and I will be there cheering you on because you deserve it. You are the man. Thank you. Live long and prosper, baby.
Mike Freeman. Nice job, Mike. Thank you very much. And T.O. is going to skip the induction ceremony. He's in. He wanted to get in. And by the way, he deserved to be in. He deserved to be in. There's no doubt. But he's not going to attend. And the Hall of Fame is not happy about that, as you might imagine. All right, setting up hour number two. My thanks to Mike Freeman. When we come back, we change up. We talk some hockey. We are talking hockey on this show. We will always talk hockey on this show. Always. I don't think it's a niche sport. I don't think the NHL Stanley Cup Final is a niche series. We will talk hockey. And when we come back, we will do that with Tony Loughman. Also coming up next hour, Lee Jenkins, a senior writer for SI. We'll talk NBA with him. Third hour is wide open. Where do you want to go with this thing? I mentioned also, I'm not dead. I'm not even sick. I'm not retiring. I appreciate all the kind words. We're still in this thing. I'm going to be in this thing as long as I possibly can. Let's keep grinding. Hour number two coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. You are listening to CBS Sports Radio, watching on CBS Sports Network and Sirius XM. Stay tuned.